Let's go to page 24. This is italic. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into conscience with sufficient force the memory and suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We were without defense against the first drink. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and ready to blend with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense which keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. In other words, I have a wonderful memory, it's just short. I can't remember the divorce courts or the jails that I just got out of, the car wrecks, because all I can think about is feeling better. And I'm obsessed with the idea of feeling good, and I know that a drink will change the way that I think and the way that I feel. I've always known that, no matter what the trouble was. See, alcohol can't do anything to me unless it does something for me. And that's what I can remember only.
There's a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. You know, if you've burned your hand on a hot stove, chances are you're always going to remember that. And very doubtful if you'll go back and put your hand on that hot stove to let it burn you again. You know, I remember as a kid growing up during the Depression years, and there's a few of you in here old enough to remember that too. We didn't have very much in those days. We didn't have hot and cold running water. We didn't have forced air heat. If we had heat in the wintertime, we were lucky, period. We burned wood, we burned coal, we burned whatever we get our hands on to burn to stay warm.
Other people's houses, it didn't matter.
But it didn't make any difference how poor the family is. Cleanliness is still next to godliness. Everybody in the family has to take a bath on Saturday night. Now, whether you need a bath or not is beside the point. You still have to take one on Saturday night. One time in the middle of the winter, Mother had heated the bath water on the old heating stove in the living room, put it in a number 3 zinc wash tub sitting behind that stove. Now, every kid in the family takes a bath in the same water. I'm the baby of the family. The time he got to me, the crud would be about an inch thick on it. Mother said, get in there and get yourself clean. And I thought, how in the hell did I get clean in there? And I didn't dare say that to her. You didn't talk to your mother that way in those days. I scraped the crud back. I get in the water. I'm soaping myself up. I'm standing next to this red hot stove. Somehow I managed to bend over and shake my rear against that stove. I shall never forget it. Raised a blister on my rear end about as big as my hand. Hurt me worse than anything had ever hurt me before. And you know, I've never had an obsession of mine to stick my ass on a hot stove since then. Yeah. Now, alcohol has burned me over and over and over and over and over, just as bad as that hot stove ever burned me. And my mind, left on my own resources, cannot remember with sufficient strength and force the suffering, the humiliation, and etc. of what the last drunk does to me. And I begin to think about taking a drink. And I begin to concentrate on that great sense of ease and comfort that comes at once by taking just a couple of drinks. Next thing you know, I've convinced myself it's okay to drink. Then the allergy takes over, and then I get drunk. So the real problem centers in my mind rather than my body. Page 24, last paragraph. When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he's probably placed himself beyond human aid and unless locked up may die or go permanently insane. If we placed ourselves beyond human aid, then the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous will not bring about recovery from alcoholism. Because the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is made up of a group of individuals who are just as powerless over alcohol as I am. The Fellowship is absolutely necessary. The Fellowship supports me. But the Fellowship will not bring about recovery from alcoholism. It's got to come through a power greater than human power. Page 25, there is a solution to that condition. Let's see what it is.
He said, there is a solution. He said, almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings which the process requires for successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we'd come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life that we'd been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We found much of heaven had been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence, which we had not even dreamed. See, I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was powerless over alcohol. I saw that the fellowship was staying sober. People said that they were staying sober because of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I believe that they believe that. And I stuck around until I, too, could come to believe that this program might work for me. The fellowship supported me and helped me. The book says the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences. And this is what they've done for us, which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. You notice that statement up there said the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we've had deep and effective spiritual experiences, and then there's a little asterisk there. Well, in the first printing of the first book, that little asterisk was not there. People began to write in to the little office and asking Bill what they meant by these terms that he was using, spiritual experience. What do they mean by that? They were doing the same things that he was doing, but they weren't having those same type of experiences, or they didn't understand what he meant by those terms. So in the next printing, he put that little asterisk there, and at the bottom of the page he said, fully explained on the page. They want us to understand what they meant by those terms, spiritual experience and spiritual awakening. It's very, very important that if they're writing about it, I need to understand what they mean in the terms in which they're writing about. Otherwise, I might misunderstand. Later on, in referring to that asterisk on page 27, it says, for further application, see Appendix 2. Then on page 47, referring to that asterisk, it said, please see Appendix 2. Because they really want to make sure we understand what they mean by those terms. Because I don't know about you, but when I was about 6 or 7 years old, some things happened in my life that I didn't like, and I blamed God for them, as some of us do when we're that young. And I said, if I ever get big enough that I can catch me, I'm not going to go anymore either to church. And I got big enough that couldn't catch me, and I didn't go. And so when I arrived with Alcoholics Anonymous, I had the spiritual knowledge of a 6 or 7-year-old boy, and you can imagine what that was. I know one time they did catch me and took me to this revival they had back there in Oklahoma. And they were playing music and dancing and singing and eating dinner on the ground. It went on for a couple of weeks, seemed like. And I was there one night, and my Aunt Much, she's much of a lady, Aunt Much. And Aunt Much got into the spirit of this thing that night. And she began to jump up and down and talk in a strange language that I'd never heard of before. And sometimes I think she jumped over a pew or two. I don't know. But she was having a spiritual experience. And I thought that's what I was going to have when I got here. And I'll tell you about it, I was dreading it, to tell you the truth. But thank God that was not the truth. Because they said on back on page 569 or page 567 in the fourth edition, what they read those terms, what they meant by those. So let's go back there and let's see what they meant by those terms, because it will help us to understand the rest of the book better.
Remember, if a textbook is meant to transfer information from one mind to another, the transfer is going to be done through the words that are used. If the writer uses a certain word or a certain term with a certain understanding, the reader reads it with a different understanding. The information comes through garbled information. Just like the word allergy, many of us were highly confused about this term, spiritual experience. So if we're going to have one of them, let's go back on page 569, 567 if you're in the fourth edition, and let's see what they really mean by spiritual experience.
It says spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book. Upon careful reading, you know, alcoholics don't do careful reading, do they? Shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous.
Okay, I've already learned two or three things from these two paragraphs. I've learned that there might be two terms. It might be called a spiritual experience, or it might be called a spiritual awakening. In either case, it's going to be a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. Dr. Silkworth referred to it as a psychic change. Here it's called a personality change. I've also learned that it doesn't have to be a fast one, like Bill Wilson had. That's what confused people. Bill felt as if the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. Most people were not having that, so that's why they started writing in. So it says, yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of a sudden and spectacular upheaval. Happily, for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. It doesn't have to be fast like Bill's was. So I learned two or three things just from two paragraphs.
Bill's was a spiritual experience which happened suddenly, right now. A spiritual awakening developed slowly over a period of time. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rules. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he's undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is bar against all information, which is proof against all argument, which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance, and that principle is contempt prior to investigation. See, I knew all I needed to know at 7 years old, and I thought all my life that I neatly invaded this situation. I was convinced. My mind was made up. I knew so many things that were not true. It was almost impossible for me to learn anything that was true because I had a closed mind about these items and these things. I needed an open mind then, and I needed an open mind today.